talking about a home,
talking about a home,
talking about me and you, things we'll do or say at
home, talking about a home,
not talking about a one night stand. I wanna be your man. I said a home, yeah. I'm talking about a wedding ring and the whole damn thing. I said a home, talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. Special thanks to today's show producer, Izzy Mager, and also special thanks to the great Chris Isaac for our show theme song. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows that we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which is coming up August 28th through the 30th at Patriots Point in Mount Pleasant. Well, we've got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking with Judge Fowler, with Best Buy Blinds, also Mary Gerard with Better by Design, plus the folks from Tyndall Engineers and Brown Dog Builders. And then we'll also be talking with Justin Morris with Brothers Mattress. You should check them out. We just bought a few mattresses from Justin at Brothers Mattress. They're all made in the USA, and he is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, so we like to do kind of folks. Well, I mentioned the Charleston Fall Home Show coming up August 28th through the 30th at Patriots Point in Mount Pleasant. We're a little over half sold out for that show, and we have a lot of home professionals that listen to our radio show Talking About a Home, and so if you're interested in either jump-starting your fall business, or if you make sure that your schedule stays full, a lot of home professionals have staff and make sure that they keep them busy. Definitely want to talk to us about getting involved in Charleston Fall Home Show. The Charleston Fall Home Show draws a lot of homeowners from Pleasant, obviously, because it's at Patriots Point, and also Isle of Palm, Sullivan's Island, Daniel. Very desirable homeowners for to talk to. And if you're a homeowner, you definitely are going to want to attend the Charleston Fall Home Show, because you have time to make some changes to your house before the holidays come. So give Charleston Home and Design Magazine a call if you are interested in displaying. We did the Charleston Home and Design Show in January at Patriots Point. The show was sold out. 20 vendors on the wait list. Don't want to wait. I know it's difficult to that far ahead to August to say, you know, what's my business going to be like then? But, you know, it's a marathon, so I'm sure you're planning to be in business long into the future, so we can help you make sure that you keep your schedule filled by being part of the Charleston Fall Home Show August 28th through the 30th, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
And now we're talking with Judge Fowler with Best Buy Blinds. How are you doing, Judge?
Great. How are you, Tim?
Good. Judge, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Best Buy Blinds.
Well, Best Buy Blinds has been serving the Lowcountry since 2003, or I've owned it since then. We do all types of interior window treatments for residential and commercial clients.
All right, very good. And Best Buy Blinds, you have owned the company since 2003, so that's 23 years in business. And
yep.
And Best Buy Blinds was around before you bought the business too.
That's correct, yeah.
What
like 97, yeah.
Yeah, what would you say your secret to success is?
I think it's just following the trends, closely and taking care of our clients and just keep showing up. And if there are issues, whatever, we just keep showing up and until everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So, and when you say showing up, you mean basically whatever it takes to make the customer happy?
That's correct. Yeah. I mean, we, certainly go up front and try to lay out all the, each application has some kind of compromise. And so you try to lay out all the things someone might object to, up front. And then, but when you actually get them in the windows, things, weren't the way that they thought they would be. And so we just continue to work with people till we get everybody happy with what the application or what application is that they need.
Gotcha. Does Best Buy Blinds, do you bring the samples to the homeowner so they can see them in their own light in their own home?
That's correct. That's mostly what we do. We do have a small showroom in Mount Pleasant at 1514 Mathis Ferry Road. But most of our latest and greatest sales samples are in our sales vans, and we take them out to your house and show you them there. We can often order samples for you to have and help you pick out your furniture and other things when you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And what's real popular these days?
I would say a lot of it is motorization and roller shades and woven wood Roman shades are probably kind of the newest categories that are getting larger. But our plantation shutters, had been 50% of our business for a long time, and 50 to 60%, and it probably dropped down to 40% in the last few years. But it's really made a big pickup here in the last certainly few months. And we're still seeing lots of kind of a modern look to the shutter with a hidden tilt or large panels and large louvers. We've also seen a movement towards some more classic looking shutters, traditional looking shutters with smaller louvers and the hidden and the front, plantation looking tilt rod. Hmm. So it's kind of a mix there, but definitely shutters are coming on. Another big category is the woven wood Roman shades. That allows you to bring texture to the room and different colors, and allows you to get the shade up out of the way so you have a full open window, which is popular here in the Lowcountry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, those can be motorized, as well as simple roller shades are motorized. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more like dual rollers where it's a blackout shade is one of the shades, and then like a solar shade or a light filtering shade is the other shade. So you can have, multiple looks to your windows.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. The roller shades, those sound kind of basic, but how do they look when they're installed?
Well, they're a very clean, modern look. They can go up into a 4-inch box, or you can build a pocket for them to slide up in there where they're completely unseen at all. If you're dealing with a new build or a remodel or something, but they come in their own kind of valance cassette type thing that's fairly low profile, and then they come down nice and clean. If you can do them cordless or something rather than motorized too, and they're not the old style cordless where you kind of tug on it and it kind of spring loads up. You just pull it down wherever you stop, it stays there. Push it up wherever you stop, it stays there. Mm. So it's a much more modern functional application now.
I think I've seen those in hotel rooms too.
Yeah, yeah, they're popular there because they're durable and functional.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And back to the plantation shutters. What type of material is the plantation shutters that Best Buy Blinds sells made of?
Mostly, we sell a solid PVC shutter that we've been selling since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
We also, in some applications, will sell a wood shutter if we're doing particularly large panels or we're doing a stain. But otherwise, it's a solid PVC shutter that we paint. They're painted shutters. They're not like the vinyl feel type shutters. They look virtually identical to the wood shutters that we do.
And the fact that they're made out of PVC, does that help with preventing, we live in a humid climate here, like warping or anything like that that you might find with wood shutters?
Yeah, absolutely. We even if you were doing wood shutters throughout the house, we would often suggest you do a poly shutter in the bathroom or somewhere where there's a lot of steam or humidity.
Mm.
But we take these poly shutters and we paint them with an outdoor paint. We put them outdoors on porches and things like that. So they're just a lot more durable than even the wood.
Nice.
Wood shutters.
And do they come in a specific color or do you have options?
We have about 10 stock colors, but we can paint it any color you want. There's a fee for doing a custom match color, but we can do that as well.
Okay, gotcha. And you were mentioning some of the smaller louver plantation shutters. Those are the kind that, believe it or not, you see down on the Battery, right? Like those are the old kind of plantation shutters.
Yeah. The old like small 1¼-inch louvered shutters, we're not seeing that, at least at this point, but we're seeing like the smaller plantation shutter, like a 2.5-inch louver.
Okay.
The front tilt. And yes, of course, we're doing it downtown, and we're doing it downtown Somerville and some of the more traditional areas, but we're also doing it throughout the Lowcountry. People are particularly cottage style houses with more medium to small size windows. They're choosing to go with a little more traditional look.
Yeah, we have plantain shutters at our house, and I think they cross. They can be in a traditional style home or a modern style home. They go in both, right?
That's right. I don't know. 10 years ago, it was mostly traditional types that we were doing, but in the last 5 years, everybody was doing the more modern, but I'm seeing a little bit of a kickback towards the traditional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have a great look from the street as well.
Yes, real estate agents like them.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Talk about motorization because for an older person like me, I think if you add technology, it's just going to complicate things. But do you have any problems with the window treatments that are motorized?
I would say the last 5 years, the biggest change is very good rechargeable batteries. And so the rechargeable batteries are lasting at least 9 months to, a year and maybe a little bit more, depending on how much they get used. And then they have all the different manufacturers have, we have a few favorites, but everybody's kind of headed the same direction, have made it very easy to recharge them, either with like a cord that you plug into it or often like a wand. You can charge the wand up and then just go attach the wand to the shade and recharge it. Now, the best situation would be if you can run low voltage wires to the windows, in a remodel or a new build situation, and then you don't have to worry about batteries at all other than the remotes.
So if your walls are open, or if they're going to be opened, it's better to run low voltage wiring to power those motorized shades.
That's right, and we can work with the electricians in identifying the correct wires and where the wires need to go. And they usually will go to a central location where we provide transformers to plug those in and get power to those shades,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't worry about anything at that point.
Well, that's great. Well,
in terms of powering.
How can and that's a big convenience too, and I would think some people are like, I don't want you to have to rip open my walls to run wiring or anything like that. So having the battery right. option,
I think the rechargeable battery has made that less of an issue.
That's good.
Rather than coming back with 100 batteries to go replace your batteries with every year,
and then. And then everything can be those motorized shades, they can be powered by your phone, and you can if you're out of town, open your windows to give that a lived-in look.
All the motor companies have apps now that you can control it with that, or you can connect it to your home assistant, like Google or Apple Home Assistant, where you can control them that way as well.
Nice. Well, you're making me want motorized shades now.
Yeah.
The way that sounds. We do. Well, how can folks get in touch with Best Buy Blinds?
Well, like I said earlier, we're at 1514 Mathis Ferry Road in Mount Pleasant. Our phone number is 843-884-3454, which you can call or text that number. And then our website is bestbuyblindsinc.com.
All right. And you can always find Best Buy Blinds within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. We've been talking with Judge Fowler with Best Buy Blinds. Thanks so much, Judge.
Thanks, Tim.
Talking with Mary Gerard with Better by Design. And she is joined by two other companies that have joined forces as Charleston's complete renovation team. That would be the folks from Tyndall Engineering and also Brown Dog Builders. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm good, Tim. Thank you for having us this morning.
You bet.
I've got Mike Pastrito. He's the owner of Brown Dog Builders with me this morning, and Sheridan Hopkins with Tyndall Engineering.
All right. Well, very good. Well, how did this partnership come about, and what made you decide to work together?
Well, it started, we had a project together. Michael and I had done all the design work, and we brought Michael with Brown Dog Builders in to do the construction, and we had some structural elements to it. So we had met Sheridan and I at a professional women and builders event, and so we gave him a call, and they do the residential engineering for us. And the whole process, as we worked through it, worked so well that we've actually rolled it out on several projects since then. And we just thought this was a really simple way for homeowners to go from design through construction. And it seems to be working very well for us.
All right. Well, this is a little bit unusual. Most homeowners hire a designer, then they find an engineer. Then they get contractor bids separately. Why is your approach different?
Well, when we start with design, we end up having a very defined project and scope of work, which leads to a more concise budget. It allows Michael, the builder, to really see what is being done there and can bid to the actual work, not in sort of guesses. And then with Sheridan, we can bring him in and he can help us figure out the elements for the engineering. So that too impacts the schedule and also the budget.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, let's talk about some of those budget concerns. What keeps homeowners up at night? What's the biggest fear you hear from people considering a renovation?
Well, they really don't know where to start. They bring in contractors. They don't really have a design. They want to make their kitchen bigger. There's not enough storage. There's a lot of variables that contribute to their need for renovation. And if you start with the contractor, he can only do his best in giving you a good guess estimate of what it's going to cost. So by starting with design, we can really lay it out on paper and address those questions for them. There are actual dimensions that go into a CAD program that allows for multiple solutions that are realistic in cabinetry, appliances, even where the couch will lay out and will it fit against the window, those kinds of decisions. Once we get to that final design, then it's easy for us to write a clear scope for Michael then to bid to. And I take it a little bit further, and instead of having allowance numbers for finishes, we go out and actually I educate them on different finishes and maintenance and, you know, really how they're going to use their house. This helps in two ways. It gives a more realistic number for the client and some of the things that can contribute to allowance numbers versus realistic numbers are maybe brushed gold is more about a third more than a typical faucet might cost. Mm-hmm. So if that's what the client wants and the builder doesn't know it, that's where you can kind of get caught up in a cost number. So having the finishes and a clear scope of work can really help also during the construction. So if I can tell our builder exactly what materials are going in, that might affect framing. Whereas if you waited until the middle of construction to pick your finishes, now you're kind of stuck. And I'll give you a quick example. We did a custom floor that was 1.5 inches thick in a pull bathroom. And the hallway flooring was only going to be 3/4 inch engineered hardwood floor. So right there, we've created a 3/4 inch toe kick. So by being able to relate that to the contractor, he was able to frame it and lower it so that the two floors met simultaneously in the middle.
That's important information, and you if you don't have a design, you're definitely going to have to deal with some cost overruns there. What are we've all heard stories about renovations going over budget. Why does that happen in the industry?
So typically what I found as a general contractor going into a project and not having that defined scope of work ahead of time, there's only so much we could do to anticipate issues that would come up during the course of construction. And that's generally where you're going to have the biggest mishaps without the proper planning and design ahead of that. We're kind of walking in blind on some projects, especially if it's an older home where you're going to find lots of surprises when you open up walls. So we try to eliminate as much as possible with pre-planning. And that incorporates having the design, a defined scope of work. And then we can look at that together. And if I recognize something that may be a potential structural issue, if we're moving a wall, if we have foundation issues that we might run into, we can then bring in Tyndall Engineering ahead of time to eliminate as many unknowns as possible. Mm-hmm. And that allows us to have a little bit more control over anything that might come up. And still things will come up. And the benefit of having that group is we communicate constantly throughout the project. So I can call either Mary or Michael in, or call Sheridan in if we come across something, and we can immediately look at it. And without having that ability, the time it takes to address those issues, you know, time equals money. You could start then, you know, that ball rolling down a hill where it can cause costs to go higher.
For sure. Well, another challenge is in the building industry is communication. Sometimes homeowners feel left in the dark. What goes wrong when a designer, an engineer, and the contractor aren't coordinated from the start?
I would say a lot of finger pointing. We tried to solve that problem with a project management system. So we've got everything in there from communications to the client's financials. We've got to-do lists. We've got the schedule, daily log. And really just having that team from the very beginning is really important. So once we've got a design, we might bring Mike in during the scope of work and the construction budget to say, you know, is there another way to do this that's, you know, more cost effective? So value engineering is really important. And then like we just, you know, Mike was saying, having Sheridan on board, if we open a wall or we find a load bearing wall that's not, you know, supported from below, we've got some issues there that can cause a lot of problems. So being able, you know, he's familiar with the design, he's working with Mike, we can all put our heads together and come up with a solution.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of how miscommunication between separate teams creates real problems and costs for the homeowner?
Well, I mean, the when you're not, when you have three parts of that equation and they're not speaking to each other, or they're pointing fingers or kind of saying, well, you need to speak to the designer about that, or, you know, you should, this should have been taken care of as a different phase of the project, we kind of eliminate that entire concern. You know, being able to look at a project while the design is happening allows us to kind of go in, especially me specifically, and they may design something that I look at immediately at the house and be like, well, that's not going to work based on how the existing structure is. And if we want to do that, we'll have to kind of rethink whether it's the design or whether we have to have, you know, an engineer come in, share it, and we'll say, okay, you can do A or B, but, you know, C is going to be too expensive. Mm-hmm. So that's where that communication and pre-planning comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of is. Would you refer to this as the three companies coming together as like a design build kind of situation? I've always when you have a design build, the right hand knows what the left hand is doing.
Exactly. And Michael and I really, after the design process and the finish selections, we really stay on board to sort of be the client liaison and also help with things on site so that we ensure that the design is exactly what the client was expecting from the start.
Gotcha. Timeline delays are also part of a renovation. What causes most delays, and how does working as an integrated team help prevent those delays?
Well, I think Mike and I can come to it from different sides, but I would say finish selections are a big decision. So that's why we try to do those up front. If you're trying, you know, that way when I get all the selections finalized, I order everything and they're on site. So if Mike calls me up and says, hey, the plumber's coming 3 days in advance, they're all right there. He knows exactly what he's got and, you know, what he's going to input. And he's not, now we're not chasing down finishes. He can just keep rolling with the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, let's talk about the design first approach. At Better by Design, you folks talk about a design first approach. What does that mean, and why does it matter to the homeowner's budget?
Well, there's lots of reasons for renovating a home. You know, solving a function and flow problem, not having enough storage, wanting larger rooms versus two smaller rooms they don't use, or just plain updating what's there, especially here in Charleston. We all have an older home. And most of the time, it's a combination. So then the questions start. Well, you know, what does it look like? Can I move this space over there? You know, unless you can see it, can you know if you can actually make a decision? So by putting it into like the computer, like I started to say, it gives them two versions. It gives them a 2D, so it's a flat plan showing the layout and the flow, and then also a 3D rendering that they can actually see what it's like. And that gives a lot of information to a husband and a wife or whoever's doing the renovation to discuss, oh, I really like that. Or, you know what, I don't work that way, or I don't cook that way. And they work through the whole process. So we're solving problems on paper, not in the field. Mm-hmm. So again, we're saving, you know, construction dollars, and we're saving on time.
At what point does Tyndall Engineering typically get involved in a project, and why does bringing engineering in early rather than as an afterthought save homeowners money?
Well, I'll give you an actual example. We're working on a project now. So let's say we've finalized the design. We bring him in to say, okay, this is what we want to do. And most times we are removing a wall, and they go in and they do their formula to make sure that the load is able to hold what we're building. And he can point out anything from there. Otherwise, we open things up. And if we find the problem, then again, we're holding up the schedule. We're costing dollars that the client wasn't, you know, prepared to be spending. And it's just, it's good information. You want to know what you're going into before you tear down something.
Mm-hmm. What's something that might seem like a simple renovation, like knocking out a wall, adding a window, that actually requires engineering expertise most homeowners don't realize?
So the codes have changed a lot over the years. And when we're dealing with houses from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, when you go in to make these renovations, you have to bring them up to current code. So you'll get into situations where they used to allow this, But now they don't, and it's usually an afterthought as far as the engineering is concerned. And so you're halfway through the process, you find out that you got a load bearing wall that you're wanting to put a window in or a door, but it won't hold the load when you do that. And then you're struggling and trying to find an engineer that can come and help you. And you're usually waiting sometimes months before they can get to you. But having engineering involved on the front side, we can catch a lot of those things and give options. We're problem solvers. We want to make the vision of the designer happy, and we want to make it, you know, it's what the homeowner wants. But on the building side, we want to help them accomplish their goals without the cost getting away from things. So knowing the engineering up front and having us there with the update meetings, it reduces the amount of time, which time is money.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brown Dog Builders, you're the folks that are actually swinging the hammers and making it real. How is your job different when you have a detailed design and engineering plan done up front versus a typical project?
So what we do is actually pretty simple. I mean, the construction part is not, you know, it's straightforward. And if you give me a set of detailed plans with structurals, with design, we can plug and play at that point. And our process is much smoother. You know, otherwise, you're kind of going in blind at that point if you don't have those details set up. And again, older homes, you are always going to find something within the walls that's been done through the years that isn't correct, and then you have to correct them at that point. So having that, basically, here's how you build it, this is the scope of work, allows us to move through a lot faster and easier.
Mm-hmm. And then there, if you don't have a design, a lot of times the homeowners end up asking the builder for a lot of design advice, right? You ultimately get hit up for that, and that's really not it doesn't make it any easier for the contractor, right?
No, that's not really what we do either. I mean, we can do some of that, but it's better to have someone who works on plan and design like Mary and Michael, who can envision that and put it on paper, show the client ahead of time and let them see it before I walk in and kind of say, well, you could do this or that. And it really leaves a lot of that question mark that they have. And it's the best route for them to maximize, you know, what they want to do with their house.
Mm-hmm. What does real budgets versus allowances mean, and why should homeowners care about that distinction?
Well, that's where you kind of get into that 30-40% increase. And, you know, those are the nice things that people see at the end, and they want them a certain way. And I think when contractors give budget numbers for these finishes, they're good, solid numbers, but he doesn't know, like I said, if it's going to be brush nickel versus gold. And if Mrs. Smith wants gold, that's going to be a 30% upcharge. So by doing that beforehand, they get to pick and choose where they spend their money. And maybe they thought they wanted to do a hardwood floor, for instance, and it was 10 grand. But they really liked this countertop, and that's 13 grand. And they say, well, if I step it down to an engineered hardwood, I save 3 grand, and then I can put it to my countertop. So we allow them in this process to be able to spend their money where they want to allocate the funds. And I think, you know, if you just went with a contractor, he's not going to spend the time to take his clients out there. And he's not educated in that. That's not what he does. He likes to build. And then you're at the hands of a salesperson who doesn't know your project, doesn't know your likes, doesn't know your house, and who's recommending based on, you know, on a sales floor. So it's going through the process and selecting them early allows you to spend your money and you know where it's coming from. And there's no surprises halfway through the project.
Well, let's talk about this team dynamic. When Better by Design and Tyndall Engineering and Brown Dog Builders are working together on a project, how do you actually communicate? Are there weekly meetings? How does the homeowner stay in the loop?
We do have weekly meetings, and that just helps all of us because there's always little questions that you know, come up or you think about during the week, but when you're actually in the home and walking, it also allows the client to ask questions and feel like they're a part of the process and we're not just building and leaving them out. You know, they're spending a lot of money, so they want to be involved on the little details.
Mm-hmm. What happens when there's a disagreement or unexpected issue on a project? How does having one coordinated team handle that differently than three separate companies?
Well, we were just on a project. We're working on a project together right now, and I don't know that we have had any disagreements yet, so I can't answer that. But I can say we were surprised by some things, and being able to sit down at the table and walking through it, like I think Mike was talking about before, bringing Sheridan in and saying, hey, we've got this issue. We were able to provide two different options for the client. And so we came to the table with them with solutions rather than a problem. And they were able to make the best decision for them and their project that they wanted to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about a real project that Better by Design, Tyndall Engineering, and Brown Dug Builders all work together on. Can you walk us through what the homeowners wanted, what challenges came up, and how the team approach made a difference?
I can. So we are renovating the kitchen, and they wanted to open it up more into the family room and take some space out of the dining room. So we're impacting two different walls, right? Mike came in and said, yes, we can do that. But it was really the engineering component that we wanted to make sure before we gave them the thumbs up that, yes, this design worked for them. So we brought Sheridan into it. And with their formula, and I'm going to actually turn it over to him, we did discover an issue.
Yeah, so we were able to find that there was a structural issue that needed to be addressed regardless of the renovation that they were doing. And so we were able to give options and then work it in conjunction with what the plan was for the home. By giving options, it allows for a couple of different costs of what the repair would be. But then it also helps by having this dynamic where we are all communicating and working together, familiar with each other. Then Mike can come in on the contractor side and he can say, well, you know, I've done it this way before and it's a little bit easier, which can keep his costs down. And so by having the teamwork, it keeps those things that pop up. It reduces the overall cost and the time that it takes to get past those.
Gotcha.
And you know what, Tim? Mm-hmm. This was perfect example because it impacted the construction budget as well. So by sitting down and having everybody's numbers as well as the two solutions, Michael Pastrito was able to say it's going to figure out the budget and how it would impact. And I'll let Michael talk to you about that for a minute.
Yeah, so we basically came across a situation where we knew we had to increase the structural component because of what were the existing conditions were in the house. And so we kind of stepped back and said, all right, let's come up with alternate plans on this. And knowing the numbers ahead of time, I was able to say, okay, if we go with option A, here's the impact to the budget, and this is going to cost this much, and option B is going to cost this much. And having those figures along with the options to the client, Michael and Mary can present that to him and say, all right, you know, not only this is the design option, but here's your impact cost-wise to these changes. So it adds that critical element to the homeowner. So and then they can decide whether they want to spend the money on one of those options or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the good thing about having a scope of work that provides an accurate budget that allows us to make changes on the fly.
What would have happened if the homeowner had hired a separate designer, engineer, and contractor who'd never worked together before?
I think they'd probably still be at the phase of discussing where and how they want to make that change or that design in general, just because you have three different parties kind of not necessarily, maybe not talking to one another or giving information that's a little bit overload to the client as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just having options presented to them in a straight form. It's also limiting some of the other options that can happen that really maybe not beneficial for the homeowner. So you kind of give them a more streamlined scope. And Mary and Michael, knowing the client personally and how they want to see that house, allows us to then, you know, say, hey, they're not interested in doing X, Y, and Z. This is kind of where their vision is. So let's focus on that.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the one thing I would add too, Tim, is when you hire them independently, that then puts the onus on the homeowner to then be basically the general contractor. So he's got to go to the engineer, they've got to go to the designer, they've got to go to the builder, and they're coordinating all this. For here, we're one-stop shop. We just, let's meet for lunch and let's walk it through, get things through.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was a real life example. How did you get any feedback from the homeowner at the end?
Yes. And thank you for asking that. You know, surprisingly, you know, when you call up somebody and you say, hey, we'd like to meet about your project, something's come up, you know, they're going for the negative, they're thinking the worst. And being able to sit down in front of them, show them the design, show them the numbers, it just put their mind at ease so much better. And I got we got a personal email from the homeowner the next day and just said, thank you so much for walking us through this. It was, you know, we felt much more confident about the decision we made and who's working on our house. So that was a really nice, you know, email to receive for sure. Yeah,
for sure. Well, we're almost out of time, but for listeners thinking about a renovation, maybe a kitchen remodel or an addition, or a whole house project, what's the one question they should ask before hiring anyone?
Who is better by design? We need to get in touch with them. Uh-huh. No, seriously though, but I would say find a designer, somebody that you feel comfortable with. You know, these are very personal places in your home. You know, nobody uses the kitchen the same way. Nobody uses the bathroom the same way. We all have different needs. You know, we might be, you know, living there forever. We might only want it for 4 years. So really sit down and learn your options. And, you know, design can impact a lot of that. So I would start with a designer, you know, whether it be Better by Design or another somebody, and look for a team, really.
Okay. What's the biggest mistake you see homeowners make when starting a renovation project?
I would say not having an idea of what it's going to cost. If you don't have a clear scope of work, you know, you're never going to know your budget. I mean, there's no number. There's no end to that.
Mm-hmm. And if someone has had a bad experience with remodeling in the past with a contractor or if there's a renovation that's gone wrong, what would you tell them about trying again?
I'd say absolutely try again.
Okay.
And find somebody who's got a proven process and who is willing to come to the table and be your liaison and work with you.
All right. What's the best way for listeners to connect with this team, with Better by Design, Tyndall Engineering, and Brown Dog Builders?
Well, I think we'll just give you our individual websites and phone numbers real quick.
Uh-huh.
We do have a QR code and a website page, but we haven't finalized that yet. But for me, it's Mary Gerard at betterbydesign.biz, B-I-Z. And the phone number is 843-718-5263.
All right. How about Tyndall Engineering?
Yes, we're at Tyndall Engineering. .com. You can reach me through an email with S as in Sam Hopkins at Tyndall Engineering. And you can reach us at 843-739-6433.
All right. And how about Brown Dog Builders?
Brown Dog Builders, we're at browndogbuilderschs.com. My phone number is 843-469-4112. And I'll do you the favor of not spelling out my last name for my address so you can get that, my email address, so you can get that right off the website.
All right. Good deal. And if for a starting point to work with this great team, you can always find Better by Design within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Mary Gerard with Better by Design, Sheridan with Tyndall Engineering, and Michael with Brown Dog Builders. Thank you, folks.
Thank you so much, Tim. Take care.
And now we're talking with Justin Morris with Brothers Mattress. How are you doing, Justin?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
Well, Justin, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Brothers Mattress.
Yeah, so a little bit about Brothers Mattress. I started in the mattress industry back in 2002. Started a mattress company with my uncle. And then shortly after that, I joined the Marine Corps a couple years later and kind of went and traveled the world and really bounced around to a lot of different industries after that. And then kind of got back into the mattress game a few years ago and realized that it had changed tremendously from back in 2002 when I kind of first was introduced to it, and realized there was a big kind of hole in the marketplace. Mattress prices has really gotten out of control. And so I kind of found a niche in finding premium products that I could get for people at a reasonable price and make it to where a good night's sleep wasn't something that you could only get at a high-end hotel or if you had, you know, really deep pockets. And so the idea for Brothers Mattress was kind of formed out of that. And then, you know, the name. I have three brothers. I served in the Marine Corps. And so the whole idea was like, you know, centered around being a family business through and through, being a part of the community and, you know, being that person that you can rely on to help you and help guide you through this process, which can be daunting for a lot of people, which is buying a mattress.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, what types of mattresses does Brothers Mattress sell?
Sure. The types of mattresses that we sell are Helix, Brooklyn Bedding, Lisa, and Birch. Birch is our organic brand. They're all made here in the United States. They're made in a factory in Phoenix. They're all made to order, and they all come with a lifetime warranty. So we really found a company that we love that stands behind their product. And we feel confident that we can stand behind it as well, knowing that it's the highest quality available. It's made here in the United States. And so all those things kind of check all the boxes for us.
Mm-hmm. How do you match a customer with the right mattress? Whenever we've bought a mattress, it's laying down on the mattress in the store for, you know, 60 seconds, and you don't really know what you're buying until you get it home and start sleeping on it.
Absolutely. Great question. So one of the things that we focus on is we're here for your long-term comfort and your long-term business, right? So we do 120-day sleep trial. So if you're not happy, you know, we want you to come back in and reselect. So one of the first things I ask people when they come in is, what are you looking for? You know, is it a soft, you know, do you like a softer mattress? Do you like a firmer mattress? Or is it somewhere in between? And then I really tell people, and I stress the importance of not just coming into a mattress store and laying on everything in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not coming into a mattress store after a great night's sleep. You know, you're coming in here because what you currently have is causing you problems, whether you're waking up with a sore back, you know, a sore neck, or you just are sleeping in. We all know this, right? Where you get to that point in your mattress where you're kind of sleeping in a bowl, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
because there's just kind of that hole in your mattress. So it's important that, you know, you keep that in mind, right? And let us kind of help guide you to the right thing. You know, if you don't like soft mattresses, well, there's about a dozen mattresses in here that I wouldn't even have you lay on.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they might feel nice for that 60 seconds that you're laying on them, you know, we know that long term, if you don't like a soft mattress, that's not going to be necessarily a great fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we really focus on that first, right? What do you like as far as comfort level? And then we're going to talk a little bit more about how you sleep, right? Do you sleep on your side? Do you sleep on your back? Do you toss and turn? Do you sleep hot? Do you sleep cold? Because those are all things that we can find a mattress that is tailored to those specific things.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things we focus on.
What are the mattresses that can be found at Brothers Mattress made of?
Sure. It's a myriad of different materials. I don't particularly care for all foam mattresses. I do have a few, but generally I have personal concerns about the longevity of a foam mattress. So most everything that I have in here are hybrid mattresses, meaning they have some semblance of a coil unit at the base and then some various different levels of foam, right? So that can be graphite infused, memory foam, cooling foams. Some of them have latex layers, and then they're all available with a cooling layer on the top for those of you that sleep on the warmer side.
Gotcha. And is there how long should someone expect a mattress from Brothers Mattress to last?
Our goal is to see you in this mattress for 15 to 20 years. Now, that said, it's important that you take steps to take care of your mattress. Okay, a couple of things that you can do that are rotating your mattress on a regular basis. We're creatures of habit, right? So if you're anything like me, you sleep on the same, you know, really like 18 inches. I've got a king size mattress and I sleep in the same like 18 inch section every night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that I rotate my mattress to make sure that I'm not just sleeping on one little portion and that portion's getting worn out faster than the rest of the mattress. So rotating the mattress is very important. Keeping a mattress protector on it, right? Because anything that comes in contact with that mattress is going to degrade it over time. So making sure that we try and keep it covered and keep everything off of it will help extend the life.
Gotcha. And I'm looking at your website, bros, mattress.com. It says, built to last, all mattresses come with a lifetime warranty so you can rest easy.
Yep. Yeah, so everything comes with a lifetime warranty from the factory, which is great. We're really excited about that, and we stand behind our products. And, you know, we're here for you for the long run. Mm-hmm. We're not just here, you know, to get you in something and then, you know, after a couple years have to get you in something new. You know, we want something that is going to last for a long time.
And who are those cute kids on your homepage that are jumping on one of the Helix mattresses?
Yeah, so that's my son Landon and my daughter Madison. My daughter Madison, shout out to her. She just turned 10, which makes me feel old, but I told her she's not allowed to age anymore. So therefore I'm not aging anymore. So now that we've come to terms with that, and then, my son Landon is 11.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, when you're making a decision to buy a new mattress, if you have a choice of buying from a company that is veteran owned, that's local here in Charleston, that the owners live and are part of the community right here in Charleston. You might as well give Brothers Mattress a chance. Visit Brothers Mattress and see if they can help you. And where is Brothers Mattress located?
So we are in the Point Hope Shopping Center off Clements Ferry Road. It's the public shopping center off Clements Ferry.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And one last question. What are some of the telltale signs that someone needs a new mattress?
Sure. I think some of the things that we talked about earlier, whether it be, you know, you're waking up with neck pain, back pain, you've got that dreaded bowl effect in your mattress where you're just kind of, you know, you're sleeping in a bowl, right? It's hard to climb out of your mattress. And then, of course, time, right? If it's been 10, 12 years and the mattress is looking a little rough, it's probably time to consider something new.
Gotcha. Well, how can folks get more information about Brothers Mattress?
Yeah, the best thing is to go to our website, www.brosmattress.com, or feel free to give us a call here at the store, and we're here 6 days a week.
All right, great. Well, and you can always find Brothers Mattress within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. We've been talking with veteran Justin Morris with Brothers Mattress. Thanks so much, Justin.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.